Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 6, day 3 of our study of Nehemiah. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Nehemiah 9, 16 through 21. Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you and give a shout out to all of the Patreon supporters of the 10-week Bible study podcast. You guys are a great encouragement and you help make all this happen. Thank you so much. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you today. We want to know you more through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Nehemiah 9, starting in verse 16. But they, our ancestors, became arrogant and stiff-necked, and they did not obey your commands. They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore you did not desert them, even when they cast for themselves an image of a calf and said, "This is your God who brought you out of Egypt," when they committed awful blasphemies. So again, we are going through the creed that is chapter 9. The Levites are standing in front of all of the people who are mourning and weeping in sackcloth and ashes and repenting, and the Levites are reciting this creed for them, giving them something to remember and probably to recite and think about on an ongoing basis. We've got two stories going on here. And one theme we've kind of thematically changed here from the glory of God taking the people out of the land of Egypt and now to them being an arrogant and irritating, stiff-necked people where they're being prideful against the Lord and saying, we don't really want you to be in charge of us. We want to be in charge of ourselves. And specifically, they're bringing up or alluding to two stories. They're not saying specifically what they're talking about, but they're alluding to two different stories. The first is when they ask for a king and they raise up Saul. And one of the things, and the reason it's clear that this is an allusion to Saul is because when Samuel gets up and tells him, hey, you asked for a king, you know, God brought you out of Egypt, we're your slaves, you've asked for a king, you've been free to do whatever you want and follow God all during the time of the judges, from the time that the Israelites had come into the land of Canaan, into the land of Israel under Joshua. Until the time of Samuel, they had lived under what the Bible calls judges. No, there was no king. There was no one ruler or leader. God would raise up people, and it was clear that God raised them up on an ongoing basis, and they would lead the people. Samuel gets up when they ask for a king, and says, what you've asked for is a wicked thing. Now, this is a difficult thing, and we've talked about this in some of our other studies, because Moses prophesied about how there was going to be a king. Israel was going to have a king, and that was the intention, that was God's plan all along. Jesus sits on the throne of David. There was an intention in God's heart to have a king. So when Samuel says, you've asked for Saul as a king, them asking for the king is not the wicked part. The wicked part that Samuel rebukes them for in the book of Samuel was that they asked for a king so that they didn't have to go through the cycle that they'd been in the book of Judges, where they would have to repent of their wickedness for God to forgive them and then send them a judge and a savior. They wanted a king so they didn't have to go through that cycle, so they didn't have to repent before the Lord. And so what they wanted was a king to fight their battles for them without the need to repent to the Lord. They wanted a king to be their savior, not God to be their savior. They wanted to choose someone as king, not God to give them a savior only after they'd repented. And so Samuel got up and told them, listen, this king that you're choosing, he's basically going to enslave you. He's going to make you slaves. You've been slaves to other nations when you turn away to other gods, foreign false idols. And you turn away to those things, God enslaves you to these other peoples, just like you were in Egypt. But now you've asked for a king for all of the wrong reasons, and you're just going to be his slave. And Samuel specifically said, because you've done this, because you've asked for this in this way, God's not going to undo this. He is not going to take this king away. And Samuel promises them, you, at some point, you are going to wish and you're going to ask God, get rid of Saul, get rid of this king. We don't want him anymore. And he says, the Lord's not going to listen to you because of the way that you've asked for this. And so that this is an allusion to that. This story here is an allusion to them asking for this king in this wicked way, who basically, and in a lot of ways, Saul's did re-enslave his own people. And so this is something, this is a story that they, all of these people need to be familiar with. They should be familiar with. The second story here is after they came out of Egypt. And this is when Moses is on Mount Sinai, the people get restless because Moses has been gone for the better part of 40 days. He was only gone for 40 days. And so it took him some time to make these golden calves and all this kind of stuff. So it might've been 30 days or maybe even 20 days Moses was gone for. And the people get restless. They're like, we don't know what's happened to Moses. He just disappeared into that flaming cloud on top. Maybe God killed him or something. I don't know, but we don't know where he is, and we're going to take over something. I mean, Aaron was afraid that there was going to be mutiny. They're going to kill him. He didn't really know what to do, and so he said, hey, guys, here's two. He actually spent time and effort having someone, you know, fashion two golden calves out of a collection of gold. And so these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. I mean, how insane, right? They've seen all the miracles. This is saying how quickly they forgot. I mean, we're not talking about decades and years that it took them to forget the glory of them crossing the Red Sea and being brought out of Egypt with this mighty hand of God. We're talking about days, literal days. This is less than a year. This is less than 6 months from the Red Sea crossing. When Aaron is making the golden calves and saying, these are the gods that brought you out of Egypt. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And that is, that's what's being alluded to here. And in the midst of that, and just like any time there's false idols, he's saying they committed awful blasphemies. There was a lot of other stuff, bad stuff going on. Idol worship, worshiping false gods, essentially worshiping Satan and demons. There's always a lot of really, really bad stuff that comes along with that. And you read that part of Exodus and you realize there was a lot of really bad stuff that was going on when Moses came down from the mountain. Verse 19, because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the wilderness. By day, the pillar of cloud did not fail to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine the way that they were to take. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years, you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. Imagine that. Imagine the miraculous. I mean, it was difficult for them to wander from place to place, but imagine how amazing it was to see that pillar of fire at night and that cloud by day that's guiding them. How strange would that be? The manna that fell from heaven, the water that came from the rock, all of these miraculous things. Those things still weren't enough to keep them from their sin and turning away from the Lord. But here, this is so important in this creed, right? This is still that creed. And so remembering the negative things that they did is important. And it's important for us today to remember the fact that we are broken. We are sinful, and we come from an ancestry of sinful people. No one who's come before us has been perfect. They have been broken and sinful. And so are we. So are we. We are broken and sinful. But the important part of this, that's important to remember that we are broken and sinful, but the important, the most important part of this creed is that God is merciful. He's gracious. He forgave them. Not only did he forgive them, I love what it says in verse 20, he gave them his good spirit to instruct them. Yes, the Holy Spirit existed in the Old Testament. And though given differently, he worked differently than in the New Testament. We know the day of Pentecost was a moment that marked in time where the Holy Spirit came in a more manifest way on an ongoing basis to Christians. The Holy Spirit did actually exist in the Old Testament. And here we have a reference to the Holy Spirit being given to the people to instruct them. And so, how gracious is God to not only forgive their sins, but to grant his Holy Spirit upon the people, something that we have today, even in more manifest power and presence in our lives. That is something that we have to remember. Our sinfulness and our proclivity to sin and God's tremendous grace to forgive us. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study Podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.